Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Black Tie Movement changed the movement in the city of Memphis, man. Much like this song, it has changed the city of Memphis. As we know, there's no question every day around this time, we play the song like the bat signal. You know, you see it, you know what it is. You know what it is with Black Tie Movement. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on the budget that you guys agree on. And they're going to move your stuff really well and treat it nicely and get you on with your day. I've certainly done both. I've tried to use my friends and I've used Black Tie Movement. And I know I will never go back to my friends. Don't do that. We're all too old for that. Call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. Get on the schedule. Spring is here. People are going to start moving, so make sure you book now. 316-6196. It's Black Tie Movement. Change and move it in the city of Memphis. It's like the snake whisper.
Snake charmer.
Yeah. So, every day around this time. Every day around it. Every day around. Every day around it. Every day around it. Every day around this time, we do the rundown.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different places we could go, but we'll start with the big news locally. And that, of course, is Memphis basketball landing P.J. Haggerty. I want to keep this in perspective. National title is certainly on the way. I think it's a great beginning. It's a great beginning to the story. This is a critical year for every reason imaginable for Memphis basketball, right? We know that. They have to get to the tournament. They have to find a tourniquet, you know, to stop the bleeding and to restore some relevance to this program, and they need to win the AAC. I mean, honestly, Memphis football and Memphis basketball find themselves in very similar spots. It's just the truth. Now, Memphis football is coming off a better year than Memphis basketball, so there's a little less sort of existential pressure. But you know, it really is the same. I mean, they both should be carrying the flag for this awful embarrassment. This abominable league that Memphis is in. They should both be winning. And Memphis football, we feel, has the pieces to do that with Seth Hennigan as the fourth year. I mean, Jason, I would imagine there aren't many fourth-year starting quarterbacks anywhere in America in the same spot.
It can only be a handful.
I mean, seriously, I'd like to know. That'd be a good thing to find out.
Like, I'm sure Memphis will have done that work going into the season this year if they haven't already. I mean, again, you got to get through spring and everything else, but right by the time they get to the season, they'll know how many other 4 years start. It's got to be a handful.
What would you set, blindly? I'm literally saying there can't be more than four and a half.
I'm saying there can't be more than five, six of them.
Yeah,
and certainly not more, not double digits.
Exactly.
I'd be shocked.
No doubt.
Have been shocked before, but no, that's got to be a very finite number.
Very, very much so. So. I feel like these programs are very much in the same positions, and this is something that Memphis had to do. They had to get the players first, and I can't lie to you. I was definitely skeptical, in some ways of just how many they'd be able to get. And look, this is just one. Pitty has a lot more spots to fill. They brought in Danger. On campus, and we know what happens when you bring kids on campus. They tend to stick.
Again, yeah, there have been some that didn't.
There have
that
been
were
some.
Costly. Last have, year have was
there,
one.
Have there ever been
Jaden
any...
Jaden Bradley was a costly one.
Have there ever been any named Danger?
No.
That visited and didn't stick? No. Let me ask you that.
Nope.
So if we had like a PJ
specific.
Haggerty and Dane Danger High Low, what would you call it? There's no good.
Danger! Did you say a PJ Haggerty Danger High Low?
Yeah.
When I think of High Low, I think big to big.
Sing it! Danger!
You're just talking about throwing it into the post to the big boy Danger.
Yeah, there's probably not going to be a lot of high with him.
And then if you pop it back, I mean, Haggerty's like 28% from three.
Right. So there's not going to be a lot of high. It's going to be a lot of low.
My point is, it can't just be Haggerty and Danger, bro.
No,
that's my point to you today. Is it can't just be those two.
Well, hold on.
Danger!
That's not going to get it done. Going to need more.
I mean,
do you realize David Jones and PJ were 1-2 in scoring last year in the American?
Man.
So if you have David Jones back, you have the top two scorers in the American last year.
Can they work together?
Both over. Dude, one is a point and the other is a wing.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Yeah,
asking
one. I mean, again, at 3 point, well, I think that's coming from yesterday where maybe some folks haven't seen him so much. He can be your lead ball handler. He averaged almost 4 assists last year, about where Javon Quinterly was. Now he had too many turnovers, 80, but again, you're talking about a freshman who had the ball in his hands a ton. And so that turnover, that assist turnover ratio can certainly improve, and you figure it will under Penny Hardaway. But again, I feel this need. Everybody's saying, we got to temper. And I know going into this, we said that because Penny's got a lot of work to do, and we've seen good things on paper go bad. I get it. This is a heck of a get, though, when you're talking about number two guy for on three in the transfer portal, and it's not just you're bringing, Tulsa's leading scorer, second leading scorer in the American, everything else. You're bringing in potentially the multi-year kind of guy that we've said you got to get. And so, if you're doing this with the hopes of having David Jones back, well, wow, can they, yes, operate together? You got one bringing it up, and you got David Jones doing his thing. And so, again, P.J. Haggerty's got, I want to tell you, too, we talked about it, can be a difference for you defensively, fourth in the AAC in steals. Mark talked about it with us earlier this week. We saw it. P.J.'s, he's 6'3", but he plays much longer. He's a guy who gets in passing lanes, creates steals. I think I told you he had 3 or 4 in the Memphis game where he had 27. So defensively, again, this is a guy who perhaps can help you get back to the pressing, turning teams over type of style that you could not do with Javon Quinterly as your lead guard. So, again, it's not just offense. 1-2 scores in the American last year. It's what he can do for you defensively, potentially, and maybe for multiple years. That's why this is such a good get. John's right. Lot more work to do. But if you're talking about steps, right, and first steps, and again, if you're talking about that, they're hoping the plan, the hope is to have David Jones back. Man, you got a heck of a 1-2 punch already. Go get you some bigs. Danger would represent one of those. Again, I'm sure there's others out there. You got to see the whole scope. But Danger would represent. Go get you some bigs and some role players. And again, it'll be more like you figured this thing could be more like it was 2 years ago as opposed to last year where you got so many guys that, were the leading shot takers for their teams.
Right. But it's different when it's Danger involved. You know what I mean?
Like him? You like him as an addition? Just this early and everything
AAC?
Else? I mean, yeah, you're right. And he did. He was good for Illinois 2 years ago, right?
Right.
And then at the end, he was playing again this year.
Yeah, he was.
After falling back a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. I mean,
I didn't watch enough of him to have a real strong opinion. But
well, you know, Memphis,
you make the best point. I mean, he's coming from Illinois.
Memphis has never played through its big men. I mean, Jalen Duren, I guess you would say, but that's really.
And to the point you made yesterday, this is him sort of, you know, dropping down, at least in terms of conference level, mm-hmm. where Jordan Brown was going up. In terms of coming up out of shape, obviously, too.
Yes. So
that's a big part of that.
Anyway, Memphis does, I think you put it really well, they strike. They strike in the transfer portal. And, look, more to do.
This young man does a lot of things, though. And hopefully we'll do a lot of things for you for at least a couple of years.
Exactly.
That's why you like it so much.
Exactly. But a good start for sure. You know, we'll see if Dane Danger is next. We'll see sort of what the rest of it looks like. And I guess, like, sort of the hard part, you know, is just evaluate, because we, who's to say, like, we don't know, you know, who, how, X, Y, because we're not in those practices, right? We don't, you know, so I think that's the hard piece of it. But,
well, important point, too, because if David Jones gets the number he's looking for from NBA teams going whatever route he's going to go undrafted,
yes,
he's out.
Yes.
You want PJ. With David Jones or not, that's the other part of this. Even if David Jones makes that decision, and he made it clear in that interview down in the DR, mm-hmm. if I get my money from the NBA, I'm going to go. And so that too, PJ Hackerty represents, again, a start on a guy who could potentially be your leading scorer. My point is, if you've got the two of them, then you're off to an even better, a much better start. We said this is much harder to do if you don't have David Jones. That's clear. If you've got him and P.J. Hackerty coming here is the second leading scorer in American behind only one dude, the guy that got honorable mention All-American AP, David Jones. I mean, that's, you know, you've got a 1-2 all of a sudden. Got to go get some bigs. Got to get some role players. It doesn't have to be, you know, let's go get this 19-point scorer here, 21-point scorer here. That's the point. But, again, I would bottom line it with, if David Jones is gone, this is still the kind of guy you want. The kind of guy, John, you've been writing and saying you've got to have in your program. Guy that has multiple years with you, so that's why this is a penny striking good thing here.
Yeah, so good start, and that's what it consists of. Lots more to do, and I will say one last point on this. When James Wiseman and that class came together, right, that number one class, that unfortunately it didn't pan out because of the off the court stuff. But you would talk to every one of those guys, and they would tell you the same thing. I want to play with James, right? That was the whole, like, yes, it was Penny, but the magnet was really the
opportunity. Yeah, I remember the Lester interview, him saying yes. That specifically.
Precious said it, like,
Precious too.
All those guys said, I came to Memphis, I wanted to play with James. So, and again, it didn't work out because he didn't get to play.
Yeah.
But he was the fulcrum of the thing. You know, I think DeAndre was that in some ways. For Memphis when he was here, right? Like, you guys saw he was sacrificed. He was.
Kendrick saw it.
You know, absolutely.
Kendrick knew it.
So, can David Jones, is he the kind of player that if you had him in the fold, people would say they want to come play with? Can he be? I don't know. I mean, his game is a little.
He's
the leading scorer, so maybe it's a little different, but.
Yeah.
You kind of need that guy. Like, you just need a guy, whether it's maybe it's Hackerty, maybe it's I want to play with him. But you just need a guy who you can say is the anchor here, and I want to play with him. You know, and I think that's kind of what they were missing last year in terms of the chemistry and everything like that. And you can use that as a chip if you have that guy eventually. So, you know, again, there's a lot of time left, but I just think that's a distinction there that Memphis benefited from in 2019. That, you know, and again, with DeAndre Williams. So maybe that guy's on the roster, maybe he's not, but that would be the goal to find him. Anyway, Memphis strikes in the transfer portal.
Next story.
All right, Grizzlies pick up the win last night. Win number 26 in Milwaukee, 111-101. They were big underdogs in that one. Jaren Jackson Jr., we talked about it with Drew, hits the dagger three, 35-point effort from him. Forget to just get into 65 games and sitting on down. He's going to play it out, and looks like going to play it out in the you know, 100, going 110 miles per hour. He was fantastic, and again, we mentioned it too, especially in the second half when Brook Lopez was on him. Jaren, as the ISO player, has continued to raise eyebrows this year. He's one of the highest rated ISO players in the league this year. He's shown you a different, you know, an improved offensive game, no question about it, in the season. We're still, you know, still pick on him in terms of the rebounding and everything else, but in terms of just being there every single night, he was again last night. We talked about it. You know, it said a lot about the Bucks to lose on back-to-back nights to the Washington Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, love the Grizzlies and everything else, and yes, you can argue that the Bucks were shorthanded, even having to pull Chris Middleton and Pat Beverly out of the rotation to go with Dame Lillard. Didn't have him. Again, that's no excuse, especially coming off of a loss at the Wizards. For the Grizzlies, it's crazy. They're 18-22 on the road. That's two more road wins than they had all of last season when they were the two seed. They had 16 wins last year on the road as the two seed. This year they've got 18. So in a wasted season, you won more road games, or at least certainly had a, you know, clearly had a better road mentality this year. Again, it's not crazy in the sense it's only two more, but look at the way the seasons have gone. You were the two seed last year.
Yep.
This year we're talking about, you know, what lottery pick can you get? So from that standpoint, and then you consider there's a couple of things now. The what you found in terms of wings, Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson. You know, after you start the year with, is it going to be Zaire or can we get something from Roddy or LaRavia, you know, to have settled on those things, great thing to have obviously come out of this season. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s consistency leadership, great thing, obviously, to come out of this season. There's no question about those things. I think, too, for the most part, in what was a watch season, in terms of, I realize the stars aren't out there, Jaren, those guys. But in terms of keeping an identity, keeping a fight within you, not looking like what Toronto does right now, I think, and there could be real value again in this next year when you're trying to bounce back as a contender, Taylor Jenkins has done a pretty good job in sort of keeping a team that at times has, you know, yes, has gotten run off the floor, but for the most part in a down year, you know, where you think about all the different starting lineups and players you brought in, you've kept a competitive atmosphere in a year you're going to get a lottery pick. So there are some things,
sure,
especially Gigi and Vince, like they wouldn't have come out of this season if it's not the wash that it is. But there are some things that have come out of this year, I think, that are going to pay off big for the Grizzlies next year. Some real tangible things, especially at the wing, to where, listen, it's really just all about what are you going to do with the draft pick? We'll see once we know what it is. And do you use it? Do you have to use it to acquire what's clearly a need, another big to replace Steven Adams? So, listen, at a time where, yes, you're playing out the string, what, 5-6 games left here, there's still a lot to be excited about. There's a way to look at this thing and get really excited as it applies to next year.
Yeah, I think the other side of that game, I mean, sort of take it to an NBA macro standpoint.
Milwaukee.
Like, my God, man. I mean, I know it's almost like the Celtics thing when they lost to the Hawks two times in a row, you know? Like, how much do you sort of inject into it? And they didn't have Damian Lillard last night, but is it really coming down to whether or not you have Damian Lillard at home as a 13-point favorite?
I told you when they got to put Connaughton in that starting lineup, I said, take that 12.5, brother. Mm. I mean, it gets thin. You know, you take out Dame and Chris Middleton in terms of the scoring, and last night it's all on it. You're right. It shouldn't have been. I mean, it's still a Grizzlies team that doesn't have Bane or Ja Morant out there,
right,
or a Steven Adams type. But and here's the other part. It's at home. You're supposed to be a contender in the East. It's at home after a loss to the Wizards. You'd think you'd smack this Grizz team in the mouth early, put them down and be done. Looked like Giannis tried to do that. And frankly, John, you know, Doc talked about it afterwards. A lot of it, I'm starting to hear excuses from him, but, you know, he couldn't pull Giannis. You had to play him because he's,
right,
you know, last night he's the only thing you got. You got to, you know, you're dependent on Bobby Portis off the bench. Like last night they got 6-7 dudes that can do something, and ends up, man, Grizzlies outlast him, you know, beat him by 10, Jaren hitting the dagger. But no, you're right. It should be better. This is the issue. It wasn't going to come together for them in a year where you fire the coach in season and bring in Doc Rivers and you're trying to work out Dame and Giannis, understand? And keep a defensive mentality, which was lost at one point, or at least try to restore it.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This was probably going to be a work in progress. Yes, they're the two, but you can tell, man, this is not going to float in the playoffs. They don't have enough figured out. Next year will be better for them
once
things have settled down. It usually takes that time, bro.
It apparently does.
Especially do a mid-season coaching change.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, they're not real is what I would take from that in terms of the statement.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you ultimately, can they really push the Celtics? They probably cannot.
No, I mean, somebody like the Sixers, if they got to face the Sixers coming out of there from the bottom, they're gone.
Yeah.
Because I think the Sixers, if they've got, you know, decent Embiid, and from what we've seen, he looks recharged,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the knee injury. I mean, again, he's got to build his win back up, but I could see the Sixers or somebody like that knocking them out, you know, them possibly being one and done, especially if they've got, you know, issues with Dame and Chris, health issues.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right, we have some smoke in the NFL draft. I don't know if you saw this morning on NFL Network, but Ian Rappaport said it's been a big week for Michael Penix Jr. So we're getting, you know, closer to the draft, right? What is it, the end of the month? So it's the end of the month, so we have about 25 days left of...
It's like 26, 27, whatever that Thursday is.
...of Jason Hypebeast Smith on the Bears here.
Bro, y'all gonna have to catch up, because this is real.
We'll have a whole offseason to have to handle it. But Michael Penix Jr., according to Rap Sheet, is a likely first-round pick now, and likely he added to go into the first half of the first round.
I know him. I'm trying to tell you that day how much he helped himself, showing what he could do with the bottom half, with his legs, you know, the 40 time, all that was important for him,
so,
coming off the two ACLs.
Let me ask you this.
He obviously helped himself a great deal.
Michael Penix Jr.
25th, 26th, 27th.
Are you a Las Vegas Raider?
It's a good chance.
I'm starting to think there's a good chance. They met with him yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden you're hearing first half, first round. We picked 13th.
You're not. The issue is you can't get up to get one of the four.
Exactly.
And so Bo Nix or Penix, hell, with what I saw from Penix in that pro day, and then just what I saw from Penix last year and making that the run to the title,
right?
I would take him over Bo Nix every day of the week. And so you're not going to be able to move up. You can get a guy like Penix where you're at, or
right.
You know, maybe even trading down, you could possibly still get.
Well, that's true. You could do that.
Possibly.
You could do that.
13, you said you are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're out of the top four.
Right. And I don't think there's any like game changing talent you're going to get at 13th, right? So like passing up on I'm a fan of Terrion Arnold because you know of the 40 time and everything he said, but as we've you know gone over the Raiders are pretty solid at every position except quarterback. Now, I did read a piece from Adam Chernoff that I should have mentioned to you. He, you know, there was an Athletic article of power rankings, early power rankings, and Adam had, I mean, he vehemently disagreed with some of the power rankings. Maybe we can get into that here in just a minute. But, yeah, like if you don't have somebody that you can change your roster with available at 13th, which is not, I mean, whether it's an offensive lineman or a DB, whatever, you don't have a quarterback, you got Gardner Minshew, why not take a shot on a guy that before he played Michigan? Now, I will say this, I'm not super high on Penix. Not saying I'm out on him, but that performance against Michigan was really bad. It was really bad. And that is a defense that is chock full of NFL players.
Yeah, I mean, how banged up was he, too, in that game?
I mean, if you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. It just, like, C.J. Stroud, when he played against an NFL defense in the playoff, was unbelievable, right? He didn't win the game, but it was just, you knew coming out of that game that C.J. Stroud was him. And you can't say that you came out of that game with Washington and Michigan in the national title game feeling like Michael Penix was him. He struggled. He threw a bad pick. They were trying to make a push, threw a bad pick. You know, and he had all the talent in the world. I mean, Odunze, you know, all those receivers they had, the running game they had. So, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not against it. I believe you have to try to draft the quarterback until you know you got one. Like, I feel like Aiden O'Connell ain't him.
Well, let me tell you what's not going to happen, because Field Yates did his yesterday, a two-round mock draft. You know, a lot of these, they're doing all of them, whatever else.
Yeah.
He's got you getting him in the second round at 36, you trading up with Washington to get him at 36. I don't think that's happening. I think Penix has done enough now that if you're going to get him, it's going to have to be in the first round. That's why I said trading down from 13 might be the way to go. Maybe you acquire something else, another pick, in doing that, and then you can go address another need. But you're going to need to get Michael Penix, it feels like, yes, in the first round. I don't think you'll be getting him in the second round. There's been too much you know, too much smoke around this now.
Yes.
And I believe Ian, you know, I think you guys are higher on him. That the question is going to be, do you think you can wait till the second round to get him, or does somebody else jump up? Again, this guy helped himself a lot.
Right.
With the 40 time, his vertical is fantastic. It was
right.
The, you know, what he showed. Again, it's a little bit different than C.J. I know C.J. Stroud was fully healthy in that game against an NFL-type defense. Man, dude had pads on. He was banged up. Penix was. He had given. It felt like the whole, you know, just getting to that point had been a struggle for him.
Yes.
Just he wasn't totally 100%.
Correct.
Not to mention he didn't have a defense.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't have a defense all year long.
He definitely willed them to that.
So he was.
So I mean, that's in his pro
list. His back was against. He had to score almost every series.
Yes.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. It's a great situation in terms of you got a bridge already in Minshew, so you're not throwing, you know, you're not throwing him out there because that's not a guy you want to do that immediately with, I don't think.
All right, so Josh Kendall at The Athletic published power rankings post-free agency last week, and our friend Adam Chernoff over on his newsletter reacted to them. He broke out who was too high in these power rankings and who was too low. Are you interested?
Sure. I told you, I already got my 14 playoff teams. Go ahead and see how they match up.
Too high? The Green Bay Packers at 5. He says that's too high.
5?
For the Green Bay Packers.
5 is high.
He says this is a monster leap. The only notable offseason addition is Xavier McKinney at safety. This was the youngest roster last season with a win total of 7.5. Did we really learn enough to show that this team is worthy of a top 5 rank and a full 3-win bump? Or did this team just get hot at the right time and outplay their ceiling? The numbers were not overwhelming. The Packers finished 17th in total DVOA for the regular season, 9th in net yards, 9th in scoring margin, and 8th in net EPA. Top 10 ranking debate? Maybe. Top 5? That is too much. Mike Clay has this roster ranked 12th in his initial rankings, which I think is a better mark. You agree with that? I think 5 is crazy. Yeah, I mean, unless you just think Jordan Love is going to take that. I mean, he showed he's good.
I think Josh Jacobs is a solid addition.
He is a solid addition.
I didn't hear him included in what they did this offseason.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Aaron was hurt last year.
That's true. Josh Jacobs is durable. And was the leading rusher 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you have, you know, theoretically a better run game now. Because you had to depend on A.J. Dillon, and he's not that dude.
That's true.
So, with Aaron out, and Aaron was prone to injury.
Adam clearly just doesn't believe in your running back anymore.
I mean, they're one of the top 7 teams that are going to make the playoffs in the NFC, so it's hard to argue that they're anything less than that. But I mean...
Top 5 in the whole league, I think, is what he said. Like,
5 in the league, no. And that's what I agreed on initially. Like, no. But they are one of the better teams. They're one of they were the youngest team in the playoffs last year.
I think they played 10. Well. I think they're top 10. I wouldn't say 5, though. I'd say probably like 7, 8.
Yeah, 5 is too high overall.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
He says the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 12 in the Athletic's power rankings is too high.
I think so too. I don't even think Tampa Bay's going to win a division. I think Atlanta is.
He said I disagree with this one more than I disagree with the Packers. He said the Bucs maintained their roster. They did nothing to improve it. They overachieved in 2023. They finished 16th in total DVOA, 20th in net yards per play. I don't expect Baker Mayfield to have a career year for a second season in a row, and I have big questions about the direction of this offense, especially up front and scheme-wise with their new OC. Having them at 12 is ranking them at their absolute ceiling. It is more likely the Bucs have a bottom 10 season than a top 10 season.
I'm with him on that.
Yeah, because everybody's aging out, right?
I think Mike Evans is going to regret going back. He got paid, but if he wanted to win, be competitive, make a run to a Super Bowl.
Yes.
It's the wrong thing to do.
So we're going to do one more team at too high, then we're going to get to his too low. Too high, last team at number 21, the Raiders. Las Vegas is a contender for a bottom 5 team in 2024 and should not be ranked 21st. They have two big problems. The first is that they do not have a quarterback. It seems unlikely that they have enough capital to move up in the draft, so they are stuck in between. O'Connell is not the answer. He finished 35th of 40 quarterbacks with 220-plus snaps in 23. Minshew had an amazing play caller in Shane Steichen supporting him in 23 and finished only 28th in the same metric. Luke Getsy is not getting more out of Minshew than Steichen. The second problem is that history shows interim head coaches being promoted in the offseason have a low success rate. There are many more failures than rebound stories. I don't think Pierce is going to be the exception to the rule. Christian Wilkins was an amazing free agency addition, but the Raiders are closer to Team 31 than Team 21. I don't disagree with him. I mean, you don't have a quarterback, you ain't got nothing. So, I'm not a fan of this Minshew bull crap. Now, here's too low.
Y'all should be a little higher with that defense you're going to have.
In the mid-20s. You know, I mean, I'd say we'll be competitive.
He's right about interim coaches, what happens.
Right.
Usually flails out, but there's still a lot there on defense. And you got Devontae Adams, man. Come on, Gardner could be decent. Maybe you draft a quarterback.
Here's who he has too low. At number 8, the Cincinnati Bengals, he says, are too low. He says they're the best-equipped team to challenge Kansas City. They shored up the offensive line, adding Trent Brown, giving Joe Burrow, his best edge protection of his entire career. The Bengals ranked dead last in yards per play allowed and conceded too many explosive plays in 2023. They added Geno Stone at safety. Other depth moves have been savvy and praised by people I respect. Even if the Higgins and Boyd situations are not resolved, the Bengals have draft capital and opportunity to add more pass catchers for Burrow in a deep receiver class. I like the Bengals as team 3 or 4, not as team 8. That is too low. It does kind of feel like this could and should be the year for Burrow.
Baltimore says hold on there with Derrick Henry.
Jason
and they know they blew it from an offensive game plan standpoint last year. That wasn't as much Lamar failing as it was their OC failing with the plan. Baltimore should be right back, bro. Especially with Derrick Henry.
He says the Jets at 15th are too low.
I just think they're the biggest threat to KC, Baltimore.
Ugh.
Jets are too low?
Yeah.
I'm high on the Jets. They're going to win the AFC East.
Ravens can't beat the Chiefs.
The
man.
Jets should be the betting favorite to win the AFC East. I'd be surprised. I'd like to know where that is, John. Next time you take a look at that.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's still billed.
Yeah, I'm sure it's moved now.
As it shouldn't be.
Yeah. He says they need to draft Brock Bowers at 10, and if they do that, the Jets, they will be absolutely stacked.
They are so stacked. They're probably going to have the best defense in the league. They'll be back this year.
Yes.
And if Aaron's good, watch out.
Exactly. And then finally, he says the Chargers at 26, they're way too low.
Well, they're rebuilding. They don't have Mike Williams, and they don't have Keenan Allen. Who are we throwing to?
Right. Quentin Johnston, I guess, is you're hoping takes a big step.
I mean, you guys technically could be better than the Chargers this year in this first one. That's a rebuild right now.
Right.
They had to get all their money right.
Correct.
You know, first, which required some, you know, breakdown first before they build back up. It's going to take Harbaugh a minute.
Yes, it will take him a minute because it's just
you. Yeah, I think you guys should be. That's why I don't have your top bottom five in the league. They got you third in the division.
Yeah, Eckler gone.
Right.
Williams gone. Allen gone. So it is going to take some time. But you do have Herbert. You have a quarterback.
Well, I mean, how much more? Khalil Mack going to give you? It's an aging dude right there.
He gets all of his sacks against the Raiders. He gets like eight sacks every game.
That's a rebuild situation. You guys should finish ahead of them.
Yeah. So anyway, that's from Adam there as we get ready for the draft. But the news right now that Michael Penix Jr. is surging and might even be a first half of the first round pick in this draft.
Next story.
I remember when John took great time and care one day to give Mike Oresko his flowers. Do you remember that?
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
He's the only AAC commissioner we've ever known.
That's right.
He is moving on, obviously, as we know, and I think as of yesterday, the new one's been named Tim Pernetti, John. He's, I'll have you know, as the AAC writes, respected veteran leader, had been the president of IMG College. Did you know that part of it?
I did not. I think I've read that.
President of IMG Academy.
I didn't know it beforehand.
Executive Vice President of the global sports and entertainment company Endeavor, at one point was with CBS College Sports as well. And so, you know, you got a guy who, you know, a lot like Oresko, had some TV background as well. Now, Oresko didn't have the IMG sort of background. He was a TV exec. But your guy Pernetti has some of that as well. It's tough, man. You're coming in and presiding over a league that's much weaker than it was. And Oresko had done a good job in building it up. But with the defections, I mean, you lose Houston, you lose UCF, you lose Cincy, and then you lose SMU. You know, I don't care what you're bringing in. It's been a step down, and now you're going to find yourself again in a battle with, can you be the best group of five conference? There was one point where you were clearly that.
Yep.
So much so that Oresko was calling it Power Six, and we backed them up. We got right behind. And that's going to be tough to do when you got a Mountain West that's going to have, Washington State, Oregon State on the schedule now. And that adds a lot to their conference schedules in terms of now quality opponents in conference. You don't have that in the American.
Right.
And then I guess he's got to preside over you're bringing in Army?
Yeah,
You're presiding over that, and yet that Army-Navy game is not a part of your conference. And so it's really sort of a shaky ground. It feels like that he comes in on. But again, we sort of saw the sand shifting as Oresco was making his way out, again, with SMU, the latest defection, essentially paying their way to get to the ACC. I mean, this is still a tough conference to be commissioner of, probably tougher than it ever was for Mike Oresco.
Yeah.
Mike, it started with, like, you had UConn's in there, too, to start with.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to, you know, and eventually you get it kind of settled down. But, you know, now without, especially those four, the
right.
three you lost, to the Big 12, and now the one you've lost to the ACC, it's you know, you are holding on desperately to the Memphises and
no question.
Everybody else's.
There is
They're
no
your
doubt.
Flagship now.
Yep.
You need Memphis to stand up
yeah.
in both football and basketball. I mean, particularly in football where you've got the four-year starter, like the situation we were talking about, you know, you need Memphis to be in position to be possibly your group of five rep. So this commissioner is probably going to be making trips down here, I would imagine, to Memphis. Because you look at the rest of the AAC in football,
yep.
this is your best shot. Tulane's bringing in a new coach. Who's my guy down in South Florida? He's good, but it's just his second year, right? Is it Golish?
Yes.
Yeah. So, again, Memphis is going to be, I got to admit, the preseason pick to win the league. So I imagine you're going to see a lot of Pernetti in Memphis this first year. Because, like we said, there's a lot that lines up to potentially give Memphis a shot at that, you know, representing the group of five in the college football playoff. So I'm sure we'll get very familiar with Tim Pernetti, the new AAC commissioner here, especially with that first year of football.
Absolutely. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jeff Cogg's going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On FM, ESPN, you know, you'll get a – I think you might get a kick out of this. I don't know. But the Final Four, as we know, is going on this weekend. Saturday, we have two games, Purdue and NC State, UConn and
Bama.
And Bama. And there's a lot of controversy, right, because Dan Hurley was telling anybody who would listen that we are having travel problems. We can't get out of UConn. We can't get out of stores.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go, you know, cuz like a crew was over hours or something and they couldn't get out, and
yeah, they're getting there late, huh?
Yeah, I think they're finally there. They landed early this morning. And no athletes will be doing press availability today. But I just found the whole thing, like we were covering it like it was the Lincoln assassination yesterday.
Well, they are the two-time national champs.
Yeah, I just thought it was absurd. I'm like, Jesus. Like, and I even said this to Goodman was interviewing the AD, the UConn AD, who was there. He was already there somehow. And I'm just like, they're talking about this travel delay, which is like, there's still 2 days before the game is played, right? And I just texted Goodman sort of, you know, slyly. I'm like, whoever is responsible for this travel delay for UConn should be publicly executed on live television.
Oh, good Lord.
The way y'all are covering this. I mean, it's like when Bush was told about 9/11. It's unbelievable how serious y'all are taking
man,
this.
They're used to a certain itinerary at this, especially this time of year, and it's been thrown off.
Hey,
yet,
so. Hey, ish happens. You know, I mean, it's not
You're talking about the best in the country.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. You're going to get there, you know, by air, by land, by sea.
And then you're only playing Alabama, a 4 seed.
Yeah, so shut it up.
11.5?
I think it's 12 some spots, yeah. So 12, 11, half, 12,
Has that moved a lot?
Towards UConn, it opened at 10, 10 and a half, and now it's out to, you know. Actually, it opened at 11 and a half, got bet down to 11, a little touched 10 and a half, then immediately got bet right back.
And I'm looking at 11 and a half on ESPN bet, so it kind of hadn't moved. I mean, it's kind of stayed.
Right.
Moved back.
Now, you may get a kick out of this, but or you may not, but they are all, I believe what Goodman did, was he rented out two Airbnbs that were, like, adjacent to each other for, like, all the – not just for, like, the Field of 68 guys, but, like, anybody that wanted to stay there, like, that he knows and is, like, covers the – so, like, they're all sharing this big complex.
On Goodman. Don't have to pay your way.
Yeah, Goodman and Doster, I think. Yeah. Cool. Which I think
that's
is cool.
That's a great deal.
Because, like, there's a lot of young college basketball writers that are in this group chat, right?
Yeah.
That probably would not have been able to afford the whole accommodation and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Goodman is providing it. I did ask, like, are y'all giving Jeff and the new Louisville coach their privacy, you know, because Jeff is such a big fan, you know, of Pat Kelsey. But what do you make of –
Is RC gone?
RC's there. I don't think he's staying in that house.
He's not staying with them.
No, I don't think RC has to do
that. That's very smart.
Yeah, but he's there. Yeah, he's definitely there. And John Henson, I think, is going to go there. What do you
not staying with the whites? Though.
Would you? I don't think they are.
Is it whited out? It's all white, isn't it?
No, I think there's a guy named
One brother.
Yeah, there's a guy named Tristan Freeman. Yeah, who is
got one brother left.
I think he's staying there.
I can relate.
Would you stay there?
Probably not. I'd be like RC, you know. Again, sounds like clubhouse stuff. You guys are frat anyway.
Okay.
And so, again, I can understand y'all. That'd be a lot of fun.
I get wrongly accused of being a frat, bro. I've never been a frat my whole life. Never even tried to join a frat. Why do I get accused? Is that just because I'm white?
No, I'm just saying the fraternizing that you guys do at Field of 68, it's sort of like that. I'm not calling you a frat boy, don't take me wrong. There's a brotherhood there.
There is.
And it's mostly white.
That is true.
And the whites will be staying together, it sounds like.
Yes.
With one brother.
Now, listen, I don't know where Jarrell McNeil is.
Where's Henson?
Henson's coming, but he's got NBA money. Like, I mean, that dude was
still?
Bro, he was in the league for longer than you think.
He didn't have, like, Mike Miller money.
Let's look at John Henson's career earnings.
John Henson has NBA money still. So he made good investments. Well, I mean, he is a North Carolina guy. Well, now I can say that used to mean North Carolina. When did John Henson come out?
John Henson made $52 million in his NBA career.
Okay.
$52 million, bro!
Over how many years, though?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Basically 8 full ones.
Okay.
8 full ones. So, I mean, he's basically getting $7 million a year on average. If he doesn't have his money.
But he doesn't have Mike Miller money.
Well,
so
Mike,
that question's
Mike
answered.
Played for 30 years in the league, right?
Well, I mean, gotten some bigger deals, too, it feels like.
Yeah. Point being, he's liquid enough to not have to stay at the frat Airbnb, as you said. It has a pool, I'm told. There's a pool.
I know that thing will have pee in it. Way y'all like to play.
That's funny, man. Your perception. I don't think you're wrong, by the way. That's what's killing me.
Yeah, but I would say that's why RC's not going.
RC's not. RC does not have time for the games. There's just, like, he's too old for that. You know what I mean? He'll kick back. He'll have some fun, but he's
now,
not.
Now, Psycho T, I am interested in that. Is he staying at the house, Psycho T?
Same thing as Henson. He's got NBA money. I mean, you're not you come over and you pregame and you have fun. You don't stay there though. I think that's the.
It doesn't look like he's still got NBA money,
bro.
When I see him on the Zoom,
that's
look like he's in a closet or something.
I know. He does have the his setup is not exactly what you would expect. Let's see what his career. I bet he was in the league for a long time, too. I bet his career earnings are similar to Henson's. No, they're not. He only made 16. I would have thought way more. I thought he was in the league for a lot longer. But, yeah, he only 16.7.
Oh, you ain't far behind him.
I know. So, he might be standing.
I think he'll be there.
He might be standing there with me. There's no question.
I feel like you feel like you're missing out a little bit. There's a part of me that feels like you would love to be there. We're going to be there next year. And I say that me through you, we will be there next year.
Well,
you'll be at the house.
It wasn't going to work out because I can't leave Sam with the two kids.
Oh, my gosh, yes, the newborn. You'd never hear the end of it. The rest of your life, she would say that you left her this crucial time.
I got to give her that, like, year-long heads up. Hey, next year, I'll be at the Final Four. You know, like, next year,
yes,
I will not be here this weekend on this particular.
Yes.
Dude, she's leaving me next weekend. Yeah, she's going to a wedding, bro. An overnight joint in Arkansas. I said, you got to be joking. And I've never heard of an overnight wedding. And it's not an overnight wedding, but it's in Arkansas. So it's you got to get there and then you got to, you know.
You said you got to be joking and then you said, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I can't really.
Because I was going to say that you didn't put
no
foot down.
She's made it. It's like, no, she's like, it's her red line, bro. It's like, I'm going. So what can I do?
Nothing.
I can't do anything about it. And then if it was this weekend, I would have fought it.
I mean, file it away. Again, you file it away. You know, you'll be able to get away to something.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm going to have to, and I will file it away.
It's like a car. It's a pass.
I've never
that
been
you'll use later.
I've never been left on with both of them at the same time.
Oh, you'll
alone.
Be fine,
bro. A 1 month old and a 3 year old. That's brutal.
Mother in law will not be around.
Usually, I mean, again,
I love how you say alone and she, but she's there.
She may be, but she's around a lot less these days because you know, so she's not on the payroll anymore.
Yeah,
so it's a little. It's changed. So it's I might have to call on the lifeline or something. Anybody know how to raise kids? I need some help.
Oh, that cove will help raise them babies.
We're gonna have
Germantown cove you live in to help raise them kids.
Yeah. So I will certainly let Jeff Govan know that you will not be attending because he peed.
No. Not my area.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Field 68 right there. Field of 68 territory.
But not everybody that's there works for Field of 68. That's what I'm telling you. He invites all. I think you could get a bunk bed if you really wanted one, bro.
I'm good, bro.
Okay. You
we're going to get you there next year, though.
You'll cover
and
from
it'll be,
afar.
It'll be complete.
You'll cover it from afar. has your opinion changed on any of these games?
No.
With the UConn
travel
delay?
You heard me say the two-time defending national champs, UConn. Yes, this travel delay won't stop them at all.
You penciled them in.
That was my point.
Now, did you see that hypothetical lines have already been put out?
For the Purdue-UConn game?
Yeah.
No. What are they? I would be interested in that.
UConn is -6.
Okay.
UConn is which is it's unfathomable. I mean, that's 3-plus possessions, basically. That's unbelievable. I think I'd have to bet Purdue there. I'd have to bet the points with Purdue.
Don't do it.
Bro, Edie showed he can run for 40 minutes. Klingon has never done that. Can he? I don't know.
They can get Edie in foul trouble.
Has anybody been able to do that this year?
No, but UConn's different, and they're the ones.
Well, if they do that, it is going to be a wrap. But it works the other way, too. If you can get Klingon in foul trouble, they look a lot different with him off the floor, too. Both are really good at avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
And both are equally important to their team. You know, I would say maybe Edie's even a little bit more important because of what he has to do offensively to keep them in games. You know, Klingon's... They can get scoring from Newton, Spencer, and Caravan. They got other guys that they can lean on. But if Edie gets in foul trouble, whether it's against DJ Burns or it's against whoever, it's going to be a tough sled, you know, for that Purdue team.
It's kind of crazy how we hold them up as equals on the college floor, but NBA wise,
yeah, it is. It's kind of
it's two different.
It's a big gap.
Conversations.
It's a big gap, and maybe it shouldn't be, you know. I mean, maybe it shouldn't be a huge gap.
It's still not a league for Edie, and he's not the kind of guy that can pop out. You have to be able to pop out and hit those threes, that today's big man. Otherwise, you're stuck in a Drummond role where, you know, it'll be limited. Yeah, he's not as athletic as Andre Drummond, but my point, it'll be rebounding, blocking shots. We talked about the example that Kenny Smith used, a guy that can play, you know, maybe 12 minutes a game as a role player. Klingon's not that. That's what I'm saying. Complete different. It's night and day difference in terms of what we think they can be at the next level. But we talk about them as equals, you know, in a way on the college basketball floor.
Yeah.
Is he mocked as a first rounder?
I don't think he's a first. No, I think he's.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they don't see that, bro. It's not. You know, he's still lumbering. Yes, he's in great shape and everything else, but he's a big lumbering center in a league that gets up and down, scores 130 something points. Can he do that? I don't know.
Let's see. Where does he have? I'm sure he's a second rounder, right? He's got Zach Edey in the lottery. Excuse me. He's got Zach Edey going 13th.
Well, that represents a jump. Who's got that, Gavoni?
Uh-huh.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's clearly jumped up in the mocks here. I thought he was a second rounder, but he has clearly broken the lottery here. Gavoni has Edey going ahead of Filipowski. I think Filipowski's performance against NC State was disturbing. I'll be honest.
No, Filipowski is more today's big.
Bro, I don't want that dude.
Oh, I don't like the attitude either. But he is today's big. He's this NBA's big.
I think he's soft though. I think that's.
I'm in agreement with you there.
He shoots the ball 35% from three. Like he's a 7-footer. Like that's the thing. It's just
Zach Edey, the lottery pick. See, I'm not buying that.
That's what Gavoni's got.
I mean, I buy that. He's moved guys up since the tournament. We know that he put it clinging up to three.
Yeah.
And that's part of the job right now, too, move these guys around a little bit, especially these ones that are playing in the tournament. I bought him as a first-rounder. I think he's a first-rounder. Lottery pick? Somebody going to take Zach Edey as their guy? You're bringing him in as, what, a backup big?
Maybe.
Because that's what he's not a starting big in this league.
In hopes that he becomes a starting.
No, bro.
That's what you hope.
Yeah, you're going to be running half court. You're going to be running grit and grind.
Grit and grind till the day I die.
I'm using a lottery pick to get a backup big, interesting. I hadn't seen that one. I think Gavoni's a little high here.
He might be.
High on this guy, I just mean.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 125, talk to him about Memphis getting P.J. Haggerty and more. Jason and John, Arty Turner FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.